I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. One of the joys of this Lenten season has been sharing the Scripture Meets Poetry series with Christ Church in Redondo Beach, online every Tuesday. Now, Emily Dickinson has not quite been the likely suspect to pair with Scripture, and if you want to know why, we'll be online this Tuesday at 10 and 6. Yet, the opportunity to get to know our neighbor Episcopalians better has been worth every moment of conversation. That time has been a clear reminder that we, St. Cross, do not exist in isolation. Within the Episcopal community, we are St. Cross, which is part of Deanery 8, which is like a smaller area of churches, that's part of the Diocese of Los Angeles that goes from, Santa Barbara out to Needles and down San Juan Capistrano. It's a weird shape. And then we are part of Province 8, which would be all of the dioceses in the western states. And then that's part of the Episcopal Church, which isn't just national, but includes 40 countries? 22 countries, thank you, Reverend Josh. And then that is all part of the Anglican Communion. In short, we are not a church in isolation. We are part of a much wider, living, vibrant church communities. And like all communities, we have moments of strife and change and realignment and restructuring that's for the good of the community. And your rector, that would be me, got assigned to such a restructuring committee this past year. Boy, has it been fun. So without going into the weeds, I have been leading the incredibly exciting committee that gets parishes to pay their 12% assessment to the diocese, much like your tithe to St. Cross, right? So, and I want to be clear, St. Cross has paid 12% every year since I've been rector, so we're going on 15 years there, thank you very much. But some other parishes have struggled for one reason or another, and I nor the committee that I ran throw any shade about it, but we also needed to get a grip on what was going on. So the enforcement of this rule was what was new. The rule that you pay 12% has been in existence for many, many, many years. It just was never enforced. So why do it, right? So it was this shift of status quo. And thus, because any time that we change, realign, or restructure, it takes a little bit of patience and a lot of talking and a lot of communication. So I got asked to go speak at other deanery meetings and other gatherings of the diocese to say why we were doing this. It was a slightly more exciting than watching paint dry. So I had two such meetings this week. And one of them, somebody asked a very fair question, and they said, well, why should we pay 12% to the diocese? We had to cut our part-time associate to make 12%. And wouldn't it have been better if we had our associate here at the parish to help us grow our church? So I looked around the room at my colleagues, because this was both lay and ordained in the room, and I took a deep breath. And I got up on my soapbox and I said the following. First of all, the 12% is about caring for all the congregations in the diocese, a redistribution of wealth, if you were. And so for any one parish to keep resources for themselves isn't quite the point of Christian giving, right? Like, that's what we tell you all every year in stewardship. So if we're going to tell it to you all, we should probably be practicing it ourselves. But far more important than the redistribution is that this is actually a moment to acknowledge that church is changing. Now, I know none of you want change. It's why we're Episcopalian. But the truth is, church as we most likely know it right now is not going to look or function in the same way 10, 15 years from now. I retire in 10, so really that's my care. But, you know, it's going to change. And that because of that, we as a church have this opportunity right now to look at new ways of being Christ's heart and hands out in the world. Because if we do not, we, as church as we know it, will die. Church won't die. Christianity's not going to die. God is not going to die. But yet, some places, some church communities are already struggling. They're already beginning to shrink and talking about dying. And it's not because they aren't trying and doing all the right things, but it is because we as a wider church community are not coming together to problem solve and to share the responsibility with them about what church is becoming. All of us in that room where I was gathered, and all of us in this church right now, or at least most, I won't speak for all of you, but we're here because we appreciate the familiar. We like to know what is coming next in our service. We come because we appreciate tradition, and we probably come, if we've been coming a while, because we like some of the other people who come here and we need to go, you know, find out what's going on. And that's important. And that's an important foundation that will be part of what continues on as church becomes something else. And it's one of the main reasons I actually ask people to include St. Cross in their estate planning. Because this is our opportunity to build the foundation for what will become. And it poises us here to be in the best possible position as church as we know it begins to become church that it is becoming. I went on to say to this room of people, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if we're going to have one big church supporting smaller congregations around it, or we're going to have a whole lot of small house churches that come together for big holidays and education and opportunities. I don't know if our church buildings are going to become service centers like they were in the day of cathedrals in the Middle Ages. I just don't have answers about what the change is going to be, but I can see the shift coming. As just about anybody in leadership position in the church today can see it too. Aren't you all glad you came to church today for this great uplifting message? I mean, gosh. So as I took a breath on my soapbox, did I mention the bishop had decided to show up to this meeting? He's not usually there. At which point, Greg Brown, a former associate of St. Cross, who's running a parish of his own on the other side of LAX, spoke up and said, well, isn't this just kind of like the gospel this week? I mean, aren't we supposed to be the grain that goes into the earth and it dies so that we can become something new? And everybody was like, yeah. And then Greg goes, only I don't want to die. And we're all like, yeah. Oof. I mean, we could all agree with that. We love the way things are now. And most of us in that room, we're sitting there nodding to ourselves, pondering what is going to be, perhaps as you are now. The gospel message is clear. We have to faithfully die. And only in doing so is resurrection possible. Death and resurrection is what Jesus did for us on the cross. Death and resurrection has been practiced down through the ages since that happened. You see, as Christians, as Episcopalians, death and resurrection are not new concepts for us. But that doesn't mean that practicing them is any easier. In Lent, we're given these 40 days. I see them as a gift. They're a gift of time for us to practice death and resurrection. Because Lent is a period to focus on our faith, to pay attention to our practices, to try to be even more intentional about our relationship with God. Lent is exactly about letting something in us die so that we can experience new life with God, new life in our faith, new life in our faith community. Lent is about making room for new creation, to make room for God to work in us and through us, if we can just let God in a little bit more, if we can just trust that resurrection is a sure thing. I not only completely trust that resurrection of our church will happen, I have complete faith and hope that it will happen right here. You see, people of faith will always need a place to gather. We will need a place to worship. We will need a place to learn. We will need a place to be God's community. And it is up to us here and now to lay the groundwork for those who come after us, as Christians have done for us down through the centuries. We have to be faithful to our own purposes. We have to be faithful and continue our worship, and faithful and continue our prayer, and faithful to continue to care for one another. And that's what we, the gathered Episcopal churches in the South Bay, have tried to take one small step in that direction this Lent and Holy Week. We've tried to gather together to be church writ large. And so St. Cross joined with Christ Church. We're going to celebrate Holy Week services at different churches around the South Bay. I will talk more about this later. But we are doing this because this is a nod to how our communities of faith will need to work together as one church as we walk towards death in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Amen.